Hey, let's take a moment to make each other feel welcome today. Just turn around and greet somebody near you. Shake a couple of hands.
Was it? How long were you there?
5 or 6 days.
A nice vacation.
All right. Good news, everybody. The video is ready. It's ready to be watched. So we're going to bring the kids out, and the preschoolers are coming out. So we're going to give them just a moment. As they are, Martha and the preschoolers make their way out, I'd like to kind of throw this time open. We try and have someone share, a couple people share something from the week of sports camp that was memorable for you. Anyone want to share a story from sports camp week or a testimony of something you saw, something you experienced that lifted your spirit? Anyone? Yes, Kara.
Sure. Hi. We had a young lady in the creative arts who Miss Pam and I were talking, and she had never even heard of the Bible. And Miss Cindy, during our third day during her Bible study, her name was Autumn, and she asked the Lord to be her Savior on the third day of sports camp.
Praise the Lord.
And it was pretty amazing.
Autumn. How old was Autumn?
I don't know.
She's in creative arts group, though. Fantastic.
It was amazing.
Praise the Lord. It's what it's all about. Having kids hear the gospel with someone else. One more before we do this. We'll have a couple more minutes afterwards, after the video. But would someone like to go quickly? Right now? Anyone? Okay. Well, you think about it. I kind of sprung that on you. While the video's playing, maybe it will evoke some fun memories. And you can, in a minute, elaborate a little bit more on that for us. Let's I'll cut the lights down. We'll let the video play. Right. Pretty cool, huh? Sarah, would you grab that light switch right behind you? No, the other one over by the corner, that one that's off there. Thanks. All right, hey, kids, I want to throw this out there to you. Who has a fun favorite memory from sports camp that wants to share it? Landon, you have one? Okay, a couple girls here. Tell us about it. You scored a long touchdown run?
Yeah, like all the way from the other side.
From wire to wires. All right, good job. Yes, Ellie.
Because the thing was the angel I liked.
You liked the angel?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Who else? Were you raising your hand, Spencer? Okay. Somebody, come on. Mac.
I won a couple games knockout, and that's pretty much it.
Mac attack on the basketball court. Brandon?
I won 2 free throw competitions.
All right. No competitiveness between these two either. Somebody else, some of the adults, share something that was meaningful to you from sports camp this year. Don't make me just throw the mic at you. I'll just pick somebody. Paula raised her hand.
I just love being able to take the pictures every year. And I've kind of joked that, you know, every year the shots kind of look the same. But yet, when you do look back and you see the kids changing year by year and growing maybe from group to group and just knowing that, you know, another summer they're hearing just the amazing message that God loves them and will be with them no matter what. And they're bringing their friends, and the friends hearing that this little girl in creative arts, first time she's ever even heard of what the Bible is. It's just amazing to see not only our own kids grow, but to see new kids coming in who have just never, when we assume it's so natural for us that, you know, that there are kids who don't even know the basics. So, very cool.
Absolutely. Yes. And as always, Paula, give it up for Paula. She took all those pictures, does a great job every year. Anyone else? How about Shepherd Joe or Wise Man Bailey? Yeah, you know, I kind of thought the same thing, Paula. You know, year to year, a lot of the shots are the same. Got kids, you know, with a tennis racket or here's a basketball, but the kids are different, or the kids have grown, or the helpers have changed. You know, I was so privileged to get to coach little kids basketball with Coach Ray, one of our newer attendees here at Bridge. He has coached basketball in the high school realm for probably 30 years. And he was just like coaching gold, man. He was so patient to work with those kids and knew exactly what to do. Man, I was just glad to be there and pick up loose balls, you know. He did such a great job. And to see other people volunteering, the Robinsons getting involved, you know, helping in different areas for the first time. This was your first Sunday a year ago. First Sunday for the Robinsons to visit Bridge was Sports Camp Sunday. And so here they are a year later. They've helped with sports camp. And somebody else, come on, one more before we get to this. Amy.
So many of the parents and grandparents were telling me how much they enjoyed it, how much their kids had so much fun, and they were so thankful that we did this for them. And even at the end of the event on snow cone night, the kids were like, thank you so much, thank you, thank you. And it was just a snow cone, you know.
Yeah.
But it was neat because I sort of hung back and just, you know, did the registration and all the organizational stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool to see. So.
Yeah, yeah. How about Logan and that snow cone disaster? They had to wax the whole floor, Logan. Did you know that? I'm just teasing you, buddy. That was fun. Anyone else? Anyone else before we dismiss the kids? Isaac, you want to share something? Okay, buddy.
I think I'm seeing like the snow cones.
You like the snow cones? How about you, Addie?
The snow cones, too.
The snow cones, too. Any adults want to chime in on the snow cones?
Spencer made me an awesome snow cone.
Spencer, he probably gave you like two pumps, didn't he? Oh, he just poured it. No ice. Okay. Well, if you think of something along the way throughout the rest of the service today, and anybody in the back? I don't want to miss anybody. Yes. Oh, yes. I heard there was an awesome puppetist and puppet show. Would any of you guys like to tell about that? How about it? Go ahead, Morgan.
It was fun because I thought it was real.
You thought it was real? Do you remember the puppets' names? Do you, Isaac?
It was the farm.
The farm, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were their names Cat and Calloway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mommy's puppets.
That's mommy's puppets?
Yeah.
Your mommy's puppets. It looked real and it was fun. Yes, great job, Sarah. Great job, everybody. Let's just, come on. Everybody did a great job. My favorite week as a church is sports camp week because, yes, Kara.
Well, I just had a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Last year, I remember you having folders with all the kids' names and we were able to reach out to them after the fact. Are we going to do that again?
Yes. Yeah, we have all their contact information. Some of them, like, for example, didn't get their T-shirts, and so we'll be able to take that to them as well as, you know, some information about upcoming stuff at the church and all that. So, we keep all the contact information and try to do as good a job as we can following up. So, preschoolers, thank you guys. Thanks for coming in. Older kids, are you guys going back now at this time? Okay, Miss Sarah is going to take you. Thanks for coming in, guys. Have a good Sunday school. All right. What a fun week. See you, Lathan. Have a good class, buddy. All right. I love Sports Camp Week, and I was just going to say, I love it so much because probably more so than any other time in the year as a church, does it truly feel like we're a body, as in every member has its function, every person has its part to play. We don't always see that week to week. You'll see me up here and Nathan up here and some of the same faces week to week. But Sports Camp Week, man, it gives us that awesome glimpse into the reality of who we are as a church and what we're called to be. And so my hope and prayer is that we'll just see more of that throughout the year. Let's see more people stepping up and stepping in to serve in areas where they're gifted, where God has given them talents. And let's just pray that God uses that to advance the kingdom. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 2. Going to preach, you might have guessed, from our focal verse, our memory verse this week, Luke chapter 2, 11. First time, and I don't know, maybe the only time I'll preach a Christmas message in July, but I'm going to do it. I'm excited to do it. Very excited to have had Christmas and the birth of Jesus, the search for a Savior is our theme this year. When did we come up with that? When was that I first floated? Back at Christmas. We were kind of kicking around, oh, well, sports camp will be here 6 months or so, and just kind of had the idea at Christmas time, how about a Christmas theme? And I think it was great. I think that my hope is that the kids will have come away with a fuller, truer understanding of Christmas, having seen it, heard about it, kind of apart from all of the busyness. Maybe even us adults too. We need to be reminded of the incarnation, the coming of our Savior, all throughout the year. So Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read the whole context of that verse, beginning in verse 8. Actually, let's just back it up. Let's back up to the beginning of the chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." Let's stop there. Thank you, Lord, for this account of the birth of Christ, the announcement of the angels to the shepherds that a Savior had been born. And we thank you for their faithfulness in going and searching and finding him, and their joy. We in every way, Lord, want to imitate those shepherds, to be listening, to be searching, and to be telling. the wondrous news that a Savior is here. A Savior has come, and He is Christ the Lord. Would You empower us, Lord, by Your Spirit, to go into this world with that joy, with that kind of faithfulness and eagerness? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I had to do some searching. Deborah had given me the memory verse a couple months ago, and I had to search this week for where she found it, because that's not the way the English Standard Bible, nor the New International Bible, nor the King James Bible, nor the Holman Christian Standard Bible, or any of the common Bible translations render it. And I just had to look, and I finally found that it's the Berean Study Bible that gives us that particular rendering of Luke 2:11. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And I thought, you know, when I preach today, I'm going to read it out of the English Standard, but I want to preach it from that translation, because that's the rendering that we all memorized this week. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And I want to kind of walk through that verse piece by piece, if we could, this morning. Just spend a little time thinking about what each part of that means. The significance, for example, of today. Let's think about the context, all right? Here are some shepherds. Lowlifes, really. In the eyes of many in the society of that day. Here's the lowest of the low. They're dirty. Many people don't want to associate with them because they smell like sheep. They smell like the pasture. They're hardworking, but they're kind of social outcasts. And yet it is to these guys that God sees fit to send His angels, His angel messenger, that night to say, today a Savior has been born. You may see yourself as a lowlife. You may feel like a lowlife at times. You may feel rejected at times, kind of outcast from certain members of society or people in your circle. But listen, God has a word for you, just as He had a word for these shepherds so long ago. Today, listen to it. In the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. To you. I love the present tense of that, today. The angel didn't show up, you know, one night, kind of after the fact, and say, hey, guys, you know, yesterday a Savior was born over in Bethlehem. You should check it out when you get time. No. It was present. A Savior today has been born to you. There's an urgency to that today. And He didn't come and He didn't say, hey, you know what? Tomorrow a Savior is going to be born to you. Now, granted, it was an angel speaking from heaven, and if it had been an angel speaking from heaven, they probably wouldn't have just, you know, forgotten about it the next day. Oh, you know what? That angel came last night and said, tomorrow a Savior is going to be born to you. We better go check it out. But don't you just love the present tense, the urgency, the in-the-momentness of the angel's message? God's timing is always perfect. The angel said to them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Today, a Savior. A Savior. A Savior, not a king. A new king is born in David. A prince is born. A new prophet is born. No, no, none of those things. God has raised up a new judge in Israel. No, none of those things. A savior. And the shepherds responded the way they did because they knew they needed a savior. Had it been a new judge that was announced from heaven, they might have just, okay, well, that's great. I'm going to stay away. I don't want to be judged any more than I already am. Had it been a prophet that was announced, oh, well, we've had prophets before. Had it been a king that the angels announced, well, what about Herod? We've got a king already. No, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. There's action involved in that term, isn't there? That title, a Savior, has been born. This is not someone, this is not an event that we should just overlook and bypass in your day-to-day shepherding life. This is something you need to take note of. Why? Because you need a Savior. And they didn't, because they knew they needed a Savior. Today, in the city of David. What about that? Why was the angel specific? Well, he knew he wanted to give them directions. They needed directions to know where to go to find the Savior. But that designation, in the city of David, that was essential information. Why? Because it's in fulfillment of all that had been spoken up until that time about the Savior who would one day come, that he would be born in the city of David, that he would be born a descendant of David, biologically speaking. He would reign on David's throne. So there's urgency to it. There's specificity to it. There's, you know, this isn't some kind of mysterious utterance. It's very specific. It's an urgent message. It's a specific message. It's targeted to those shepherds. They need a Savior. A Savior has been born to you. To you. Not a Savior has been born to all people. Not a Savior has been born to Israel. No, a Savior has been born to you. Christians of all people can never let ourselves fall into a generalistic view of Jesus. That Jesus is just kind of a general, generic Savior. No, He's a specific Savior who's been born to us. A Savior has been born to you. The angel didn't appear to everybody that night. The angel didn't appear to the innkeeper. The angel didn't appear to King Herod that night, or to the shopkeeper, or to the handmaid. He appeared to shepherds specifically. And I believe in doing so, we have a model, a pattern of how God reveals Himself to individuals. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. What about that term? That's a loaded term, isn't it? Christ. He is Christ. He is the Messiah. That's how the shepherds would have heard that. He's the promised one. He's the anointed one. The one foretold by all the prophets. He is Christ, the sent one, the Lord. Now, here's a really cool connection that I want to make sure we make here. Luke 2:11 says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, I want you to look with me at verse 15. Here's the shepherd's response. Okay, here they go. They've heard this word from the angels. The angel has been accompanied now by a heavenly host of other angels who've joined in singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And then the angels have returned to heaven. They've vanished from sight, and the shepherds are left. What are we going to do now? And here's what they decide to do. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." You say, big deal. What am I missing here? Well, they use the same term, the Lord, which the Lord has made known to us, as the angels used to describe the little baby that they were going to find in the manger. The Lord has made known this thing to us, that the Lord is laying in a manger over here in Bethlehem. Unique, I tell you, and I don't really need to tell you, but unique among all the religions of the world is our faith, is this gospel. The Lord who made known to the angels that a Savior had come was the very Lord whom they would find in the stable. God has come. God has entered in to our present experience. Let's go see Him. Let's go, shepherds. Let's go and see this thing that the Lord has brought to pass. Let's go see it for ourselves. And they went in haste. They didn't waste any time. They went in haste. They didn't take their sheep. They left everything and went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And then when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them. They made known Luke 2:11 to everybody they met. You can't escape the urgency. My hope and prayer with Sports Camp and our theme this year is not that the kids would necessarily learn something new about Jesus being born in the manger, although some kids, as Kara has testified, some kids had never even heard that story before. Isn't that amazing? Folks, we live amongst an unreached people group. I know you hear me talk about it when I talk about the Ani people of Benin, West Africa. And Spencer and Katie and Kyle are going to go there and help share the gospel with that very unreached, unevangelized people. But guess what? There are children in these neighborhoods right here who've never heard about the Bible, who've never heard the story of Jesus. They might have gotten a present on December 25th last year. They have no concept of where that tradition originated or why or the larger meaning behind it. And so, again, my hope with Sports Camp this year was, yes, that kids would learn some of those things, but mostly the kids would get that urgency to tell the story that the shepherds demonstrate here, that great joy that just so fills them that they can't help but share it with others. And I hope that's true for us. Because what does the angel say? "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for some of the people." Is that what he said? No. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. for all the people. And of course, we know that from what the Bible tells us, and we see very clearly, some who hear even this good news aren't going to receive it. They're not going to receive it as good news. They're going to reject it as fantasy, mythology, what have you, or just completely irrelevant for them in their life today. Many with whom we share this good news are going to reject it. But for all the people on whose heart God is working, for all those whose hearts are being prepared by the Holy Spirit, it will be good news. It will be the best news. Amen. Hence our urgency. Our urgency to leave behind our sheep. Our urgency to leave behind our momentary, some of our earthly responsibilities, to leave some of that behind in pursuit of a heavenly calling. To make known the good news of this Savior. And to come and see it and experience it and taste it for ourselves. You see, until the shepherds had gone themselves to Bethlehem, they wouldn't have been motivated to go and make it known to anybody else. They could have told their other shepherd friends in the next little farm over, hey, we saw some angels last night. Oh, yeah, you saw some angels. Yeah, that's cool. But see, without the step of faith and getting up, going to Bethlehem, seeing the Savior themselves, that urgency would be lost. But now they have it. And so the point being, unless you have encountered the Savior for yourself, unless you, by faith, have left behind this world and some of the attachments and things that keep you clinging to this world, unless you're willing to leave that behind and go to the Savior and to experience Him, to hear God's announcement that there is a Savior, that a Savior has been born to you, and to leave and go and see that Savior, you won't ever taste the joy that the shepherds felt, and neither will you have the urgency to tell others that the shepherds had. So with that thought, we leave behind Sports Camp 2017, but we press forward to the task that's always before us, to make known the Savior. Make known the Savior who has been born to us and how He wants to give birth to us. A new spiritual birth. How He wants us to now be born again through faith in Him. The shepherds tasted that. That's why they went and broadcast the news. So let's pray that that's our story as well. Let's pray that that urgency would characterize us. Jesus, we are so grateful to be gathered here in Your name, to have had this time together to reflect on sports camp and the many seeds that were sown and even the harvests that was made, this one precious soul, Lord, and maybe others I haven't heard. Children who heard the gospel, heard the good news, and responded in faith, said, I want to believe in that. Lord, until we pause the busyness of our lives and put on hold some of the things that are binding us and holding us back, and just go and rest and rejoice in the presence of the Savior who has come, our Savior, we can't hope to have any evangelistic urgency or zeal. So I pray today, Lord, as we go home, as we rest this afternoon, rest from a busy week that's just ended, I pray we would rest, that we would rejoice in Jesus who has come, Christ the Lord. Thank you for coming to earth, God. Thank you for entering into our experience here and redeeming us. Thank you for redeeming sinners like us. Help us, Lord, to go and tell still more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.